I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Houston Open. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, good day.
Good day, gang. What a finish. What a week. My bad, Greg. I did not mean
copyright infringement. You will yeah, be on now.
I did not mean to do that. I'm very sorry. It's
I heard you catch yourself.
You know when guys like kind of electrocute the temples of your brain? That's kind of what you do when you say it every week. It just gets ingrained in me. I do apologize, but a great tournament there out in Houston. Great golf course as well. A lot to talk about.
Greg Ducharme is also here. We'll have to defend his trademark phrase. And also, Greg, we just learned what a puckhead you are.
Well, you know, I grew up playing hockey my whole life. I was a big fan, especially of college hockey. And I haven't been watching a lot since I graduated from high school. I followed it a little bit in college, but I love college hockey. And so I've been watching the tournament, the road to the Frozen Four this year, and Quinnipiac and Boston College are about to head to overtime, which is pretty intense. So there's been some really good games I've enjoyed watching. But hey, what a week.
There it is. It has been an intense day in the sporting world, overtime in college hockey, a final round in Houston that was anybody's game. And gentlemen, it was contested until the very last stroke. So it came down to the wire. I don't even know where to start here. I'll throw out a couple of appetizers, some guys who made a big move who are not necessarily in contention at the end of the tournament, the round of the day, Greg. That goes to one Billy Horschel, a 64, 6 under par. He gets better each and every round, 71, 68, 67, 64. He was in the doldrums and discussed on Friday just a little equipment tweak, you know, flattening the irons a couple of degrees. It's actually probably a big equipment tweak. And all of a sudden, the long game looks to be back in form.
It is a pretty significant change. You know, a degree might not be a big change, may make a huge difference. But he said he bent him like 3 or 4 degrees, which is a huge difference. I mean, if you put a club that's 2 degrees upright in your hand next to a club that's 2 degrees flat in your hand, it feels like a completely different club. So it's a really big change, and it's made a huge difference in his iron play. I mean, this year he's hitting 10% more greens this year than he did last year. He's 7th on the PGA Tour in greens of regulation, and last year he was outside the top 140. So it's a big change for Billy Horschel. It showed up at the Sony this year. He played pretty well. played pretty well at the Cognizant Classic as well, and the Valspar last week. And now on a golf course that you wouldn't think fits his game, he stepped up big time this week.
I might have misheard this, and I don't know if either of you can correct me. I thought he had said his clubs, he learned his clubs almost like they had gotten bent more than he wanted to, and he was like returning them to the proper angles. Maybe I misheard that. Maybe he said we're trying something new, but I thought he was alluding to just them being incorrect.
That's what I took from that conversation. Okay. With Smiley as well.
I understand where that comes from, and I can't be certain either way. I know he did mention that they checked, they like compared them with the specs from 2014 or something like that. Yeah. And realized that they had gotten off, and maybe that's just something that happened in the fit. Maybe they did bend over time. If it's 3 or 4 degrees though, that's not bending over time, right?
That's where the story didn't add up to me. That's a lot. That's not just banging the ground. That's not something happening in travel. That's like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Somewhere the truck messed up.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right. Yeah, maybe he just ordered them off the rack. Who knows?
Could you imagine? All right. Well, let's get to some of the guys that were in contention here, because the way that this ended up shaking out, we had a winner at 12 under par and then five tied at 11 under. Let's go through a couple of these guys. And actually, before we do that, we'll hit David Skins here, Patrick, at 10 under. So he shot a 69, one under par. He was very much in it till the end. He ended up making a bogey on 18, and it wasn't a great approach shot in there. There was a chance that he could have, thrown his name into the hat, but this is going to end up being one of his better finishes of the year.
Yeah, he acquitted himself quite nicely there. And this is the second time we have seen him in the final group, sharing the 54 hole lead as of late, in the mix there at PGA National as well. Cashed top five there, T7 this time, but only a couple off the win. And I mean, I was pretty impressed, all things considered. You're playing against the number one player in the world in the final group. That's a lot of pressure, even though you had just experienced something similar. And I think for Skins, what he's going to look back on is probably that chip on 17. He puts himself in a really nice position there, hits a little peeler off that bunker right in front of the green, and just hits a bad chip, a bad pitch, and doesn't give himself a real chance for birdie to get to 12 under at that point, and then obviously makes the bogey on the last. But this is a guy who's really just kind of playing with house money, I would say. Early 40s, hasn't had a ton of success on the PGA Tour outside of that PGA National result. And I mean, he seems to be getting more and more comfortable at this stage. So it's pretty cool. It'd be pretty cool if down the road in one of these Gen Pop events, if he can break through.
He fired four rounds in the 60s and is projected to move to 89th in the FedEx Cup standings. A golfer, Greg, that we expect to see much deeper in the season is Tony Finau. And he was able to bounce back after a Saturday 72 with a Sunday 66. He made four birdies on his front nine and then finished off his rounds with birdies on both 17 and 18. He falls one shot short of our eventual leader, and Tony puts a T2 on the column for his title defense.
I think there's only one other player who will rue the performance and not winning this tournament as much as Tony Finau. I mean, you think about just in today's performance, there are three misses inside of 6 feet. Now, he hit a lot of really good putts. And when you get after the putt he makes at 9, which was beautiful, he hit a great putt at 10, 11, 12. And even 13, all narrowly burning the edge. And I wouldn't say those were great opportunities, but they were decent opportunities and a bunch of them in a row, and none of them fell. And if one of those falls, all of a sudden he's in a playoff. If he makes what was the one on 16? 3 feet?
I think less.
The one on 16 was
2 feet, 7 inches.
2.5 feet.
2.5 feet.
2 feet, 5 inches.
2 feet, 5 inches. Like, okay, that's an easy one. At one again, he misses from from 4 feet 10 inches or something like that.
Eight, so 9 inches. Yeah. Good job.
Those things are just killers. And then that doesn't even include yesterday's round, which was full of those kind of mistakes. So Tony Finau definitely performed well enough to win this tournament. He probably performed well enough to win this tournament by five. And I think he will leave here feeling optimistic in some areas, but really disappointed not to have the trophy.
The man at 11 under who was kind of in it, but not exactly at the end, is Taylor Moore. And Patrick, we talked about him the last couple of nights because he has been rounding into form, played well at Valspar last week, plays well again this week. His round was fairly steady. Two under par for his front nine. Then he made seven straight pars on the second nine. He birdied 17. He parred 18. So he was not a huge threat at the end of the tournament, but it was still one shot off the lead. It just didn't feel like he was going to win the golf tournament, but he very much could have.
Yeah. And I mean, he kind of got his way around the golf course in an odd fashion, right? The approach play wasn't too sharp all week. The short game was ridiculous. And for him, I think not birdying eight and then hitting it in the water on 16 on Saturday and Sunday, made par both times. That's kind of what he's going to look back on and be like, dang, if I had those iron shots back, that's kind of where I could have won this golf tournament. But like you said, Rick, he's one of those guys who's typically pretty well-rounded. He's getting longer off the tee. The short game looks really good at the moment. It's just going to be about the iron play, and he's making his Masters debut in a couple weeks. I saw him as long as 430 to 1. Sorry. Which is
he's not going to win the Masters.
Long. No, he's absolutely not going to win the Masters. But should he be like Freddie Couples territory almost? Probably not. But yeah, it's a good result in someone who has been playing a lot of good golf this year, but not a lot of great golf in these last couple of weeks. He's kind of turning that corner.
Gained 11 strokes to the field this week. 10 and a half of them came via the short game. Not super sustainable, but you know, something that he can just take as a little bit of a bonus. Thomas Dietrich, Greg, has all the talent in the world. We've talked about that throughout the week. He was bogey free for his first 13 holes today. He played those in two under. He did make a bogey on 14, got it right back on 16 with a birdie there, and then two pars to end his round. He is part of that huge log jam in T2. But the thing about Dietrich, of all these guys, not Scotty Scheffler or the winner, he's got the best projected FedEx Cup standing right now, 27th after this week.
Yeah, he's played some really nice golf, particularly on the West Coast. But you look at this round today, and the only birdies come on par fives. And there were many opportunities otherwise. I mean, even on 16, that was a great opportunity for eagle there from inside of 9 feet. And he missed. It felt like Thomas Dietrich, who led the field in strokes game putting coming into the day, was on the edge all day long. And he showed quite a bit of frustration. He was beside himself on many occasions. And I was worried that he was perhaps getting a little too emotional, but he did a really nice job staying with it, continuing to hit really high quality shots, continuing to give himself looks. So it was a nice day for Thomas Dietrich, a nice addition to what's already been an impressive season.
Yeah, an impressive season, a lot of work done, and we're not even to April 1st yet. So Dietrich certainly playing well and setting himself up for a deep run. We're going to talk about the winner. We are going to talk about the two closest combatants. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
And we're back. I think that Alejandro Tosti gained a lot of fans this week. Maybe not Tony Finau, but did gain a lot of fans thanks to rounds of 66, 67, 68, 68, playing through injury, absolutely knocking the cover off the ball, leading the field in driving distance, giving himself a chance to win with some smile, some emotion, some ferocity. Patrick, this is the guy we need in these Gen Pop events. This is him.
Yeah, he's in charge of the prison yard, Alejandro. Right? If you want your cigarettes, if you want to talk to someone on the outside, you talk to Alejandro, and he'll get you set straight. But yeah, I think Brandel Chambly, he put it pretty well, I thought, on the broadcast, where it was one of those things where they just showed him hitting wild shots, and then it's like, oh my God, this guy's one back. Like, what is going on? Like, just look at number 15. He's an inch from hitting his ball into the water.
Yes.
Stays out, hits a poor chip to 15 feet that easily could have come back to his feet. It was probably like an inch or two away from just rolling back down. Makes the putt, has a wedge into the par 5 16th, hitting one 390. He is 5'6", by the way. Makes birdie there, kind of similar to Skins. He didn't get much out of 17 after he was kind of handcuffed a little bit, but an 11 footer for birdie there, and then to finish with a bogey, which you want to talk about crazy. We talk all the time of how like stupid spectators are, especially with that Max Homa video that came out at the Players Championship. He blew his drive right. There were like three or four guys, most of the people in the gallery went to the right. Two guys were just like sitting down in front of him. And the official goes like, do you want them to move? He's like, nah, I'm good. And just goes ahead, rips his shot, misses the green, makes bogey, obviously. But yeah, he's a little bit of a firecracker, right? A little toasty.
Yes, the name certainly fits. And Greg, you know, Patrick mentioned it. So he's listed on the PGA Tour's website as 5'6", 168. He is one of the few guys whose ball speed is greater than their weight. And he's got about 20 pounds to go. He is fifth on tour in ball speed, 185, 168 pounds. That is moving it. What is it about that swing that is so efficient and violent and whatever else you want to use to describe it?
Well, there is quite a bit of violence to it. I never thought about that, by the way, ball speed to weight. It's like a bench press thing, you know?
I like that.
Somebody's going to get 2X ball speed over weight one of these days. But he, in this golf swing, there's a really vertical turn, like his shoulders turn quite steep. And so it creates a lot of tension between his upper body and lower body, but it is the key word, Rick, is it's violent. on the way through, he is extremely aggressive and just absolutely rips at it. So obviously hits it in the middle of the face, but he swings hard at it. It looks like he's trying to hit it hard. When he stands over it, it looks like he's trying to hit it hard. And there's clearly some emotion involved in that too, especially the one he hit on 16. So it's an impressive swing. It's fun to watch. I worry about the lefts on this golf course. Not a big deal. But as we continue on this PGA Tour season and he's continuing to play in these Gen Pop events, I worry about that left miss. I'd be very curious to see if he can straighten that out.
Rick, can I tell a story about Toasty?
I would love you to.
So the PGA Tour released 5 things to know about Alejandro Toasty today. And number 4 was he's a fixer. And the article goes, case in point, Toasty recently found a blender about to be thrown out and took pride in fixing it. Quote, the last one was a blender that was next to the trash can, he said. I'm like, wow, this blender in the trash can. I took everything apart that there was just one wire that was cut, and I put it together with some soldering iron, and it works out just great.
There you go. Alejandro the fixer, indeed.
Alejandro Handyman Toasty.
Yes. The handyman.
There's some good ones emerging. I know the fried egg guys have been a big fan of him for a while. And Brendan Porath tweeted one out from the Korn Ferry Tour graduation of him just slamming a full bottle of champagne, chucking it in the lake and going nuts on the green there.
Well, he is a lot of fun to watch. I'm worried that his arms might fall off of his frame. Maybe that's why his shoulders were hurting, because he was about to separate from his body with how hard he swings it. Alejandro Toasty, a tie for second, his best finish on the PGA Tour. He moves up 88 spots in the FedEx Cup standings. He's now sitting at 93rd. It leaves us with 2 guys, gents. The 2 that I've omitted are Scottie Scheffler and Steven Yeager. And both of these guys, I believe they were 1 and 2 on the betting board last night. Scottie was the favorite to win. And I believe Yeager had the second shortest odds, about 6.5 to 1.
That's right.
Scottie Scheffler's round, Greg, was what? You give me the adjective. I'll tell you what actually happened. Birdies on 2, 3, and 9. A birdie on 16. He played the back 9. In even par 35. It was a 2-under round of 68. But how would you describe the round that we saw from Scottie Scheffler?
As a fan, a biased viewer rooting for Scottie, this was agonizing. It was agonizing. This back 9, you feel like there are just so many. Well, let's just consider the entire tournament. There are so many opportunities for him to run away, and it felt like he should have won this tournament by 5. It did with Finau as well. But early on, you're excited because this is a great start. When birdies at the birdie at 2 is huge, gets another one at 3. The shot he hit into 9 was, I actually missed that live. I stepped away. Yeager's at 12, and oh, okay, of course he hit it to 6 feet. And makes it. So that was really exciting. And then it's just flat on the back. And this round of golf for Scottie today lacked the winning moment. It lacked the big shot. Well, I guess there was a big shot, but it lacked the winning moment in total.
Yeah. So let's get to that big shot, because Patrick, he at least the way that this event unfolded was pretty exciting. So Yeager and Scottie Scheffler are playing together in that final group. Yeager has not hit his approach into 18 yet. He is sitting in the middle of the fairway. Scottie Scheffler also in the fairway. And Scottie stuffs one. I mean, Scottie just hits a 183-yard, beautiful little baby cut up against the wind to 5 feet, 5 inches, and applies all the pressure onto Yeager. And Yeager responds by hitting it to the middle of the green, a nice safe shot 20 feet away. So we are looking at a birdie putt from Scotty from 5.5 feet, a birdie putt from Steven Yeager from 20 feet. And we're doing the math and thinking there's a pretty good chance this thing heads to a playoff.
Yeah, I think just about everyone assumed that. But I mean, for what Greg said, Scheffler should have never have even put himself in the position where he needs to birdie the last hole to force a playoff. What he gave these guys, he didn't throw them a couple bones. He threw them like 10 bones this week. It was his C game, I think, to tell you the truth. You look what he did over the last three rounds. He has the three putt from 7 feet to end Friday, coupled with a couple water balls as well in that round. On Saturday, he hits one in the water with a wedged hand from a buck 25, makes double bogey there. And today, it was so frustrating to watch him because he had chance after chance to really put his stamp on this golf tournament, and it just never happened for Scottie Scheffler. So you can look at it from two perspectives. This was probably his floor, honestly. Granted, it's a Gen Pop event, so you don't have the likes of Rory, 100% healthy, Wyndham Clark, Xander, Cantlay, and the rest of the guys, but this felt like it was pretty much Scottie Scheffler's floor with the new putter. And the new putter was volatile this week. He either gained two strokes on the green or he lost two strokes on the green. And this week, or this round, unfortunately, he lost those two strokes, including that 5-footer on the last. That it was a quick stroke. It wasn't his best stroke. That had nothing to do with the putter. It just looked really quick and it moved left quick.
Scotty the bone collector Scheffler. The 5.5-foot putt, Greg, to get into a playoff, to force a playoff, because Steven Yeager has already two putted. He is in for par. He makes it. We go to extra holes. He misses it. And this event is over. Yanks it left. And spoiler alert, Steven Yeager wins the golf tournament.
Very, very cool for Steven Yeager to take down in the same group as Scottie Scheffler and take him down. Now, I'm totally with you, Patrick. Scotty gave him all the countless bones in this tournament. I don't even know how to say that. A bag of bones. Gave him every opportunity. But Steven Yeager he met business today. He came out of the gate with the game face on. Made a sweet birdie at 4 after the birdie at 5. Answered the bell after making bogey at 7 with birdies at 8 and 9. The shot at 9 was just awesome. And on the back 9, he played some really smart golf. He didn't make any bogeys, didn't make any birdies either. But he was rock solid. He looked confident. He felt like he belongs, which I thought was really impressive, a really impressive demeanor. And when it's chaos all around him, Steven Yeager wasn't going anywhere. And he put up a number that was hard to beat. And apparently it was too much for Scottie Scheffler.
The 6-time winner on the Korn Ferry Tour is now a winner on the PGA Tour. It was a Sunday 67, 3 under, 4 under on the front nine. No, I lied. 3 under on the front nine. And as Greg mentioned, Patrick, 9 straight pars to get this thing done. It includes yanking one way left on 16, the par 5, and having to punch it out and then make a 3 from 107 yards away. It was all business. He had just a perfect demeanor until the second that putt slid by on 18. And then you finally saw an ounce of emotion from Steven Yeager, and he was quite chatty and quite happy. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I'm happy for him too. And the biggest part of that one was probably number 13, Scheffler in there tight, around 11 feet. Yeager out of the rough, hits his long, faces like a 20-ish footer for par, knocks it in. Seemed like that easily could have been a 2-shot swing, and this golf tournament's very different, but they walk off that hole with the same score. And I'm always appreciative, I guess. I'm not even sure if that's the correct word, but I love when guys kind of see a deficiency in their game and they do something about it. And for Steven Yeager, he was just not a good driver of the golf ball. He was short off the tee and he was inaccurate off the tee. And we saw him this week. He ranked, I mean, fourth in driving distance today, 12th overall. His average drive was 313. It was 325 today. And it's a lot of hard work. And it kind of, you have to look yourself in the mirror to admit you have a deficiency in your game when, let's be honest, most of these guys on the PGA Tour are delusional. You think you're the best player in the world most of the time. So it's really cool to see someone like him who found so much success on the Korn Ferry Tour. I think the experience at the Farmers Insurance Open did a lot for him this week. You look at the leaderboard, they were pretty similar leaderboards with Dietrich up there, Finau as well. And so I'm real happy for him. And I have to get a shout out to the co-op. Frozen Rosé in Charleston, South Carolina. Hopefully it's free for the rest of the week. I'm not too sure. I'm pretty sure the owner lives around the block from me. I might go to knock on his door, leave him some chocolates or something. They have a gaudy Bronco with the co-op logo on it that's always parked outside. So have to get a shout out to them since they got some good airtime today.
There's also one in Vegas. There's one in Resorts World. So I don't know how many locations there are. There is one in, so it's actually pretty cool. So it's in Resorts World. It's right by the entrance to the Hilton. And so there's a front door to it, but the back door opens up to the poker room. So you can actually it almost like services the poker room as a frosé slash eatery. And then also serves like hotel guests as well. It's a very interesting little thing.
Yeah, it's on Sullivan's Island here in Charleston, which is kind of one of the beach towns. So interesting. I know Keith Mitchell is sponsored by them as well. So I'm wondering if there's some connection back to the Baylor school or whatever back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. So it looks like they have, we'll just give them some more ads here. So they've got, so Las Vegas, Sullivan's Island, as you mentioned, Isle of Palms.
Yeah, that's South Carolina as well.
Okay.
Or Charleston.
Edmonds Oast Brewing Company, downtown Charleston.
I wouldn't really go there, but it's okay. There.
No problem. Kiowa Island, Nashville, Chattanooga, Charlotte, and Nexton, which is also, I guess, in South Carolina. So they've got, what's that, eight that I just named, something like that?
Yeah, four of them in the Charleston area.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
I have some Jaeger stats.
Please.
This is what you were just talking about, Patrick. 2018, 2019. In 2018, his clubhead speed is 113 miles an hour. He's 106th in strokes gained off the tee. In 19, 114 clubhead speed, 151st strokes gained off the tee. Barely played in 20 and 21. So in 22, 114 miles an hour clubhead speed, 184th. In strokes gained off the tee. 2023, last year, 116 in clubhead speed, 39th strokes gained off the tee. Now up to 118.65, 24th in strokes gained off the tee entering this event. That's about 4 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour. Really impressive improvement. And all of a sudden, you're up there with, you're keeping up with Scottie Scheffler. You're in the same neighborhood. And that's an area of weakness that is no longer preventing you from contending, preventing you from winning. It's really cool.
Yeah. And Greg, we talk about this a lot on Mondays. I mean, he has just been, he's been so consistently good. And now we're getting the fruits of this labor that he has put in with this victory.
Yeah. The old line, what's the win equity? Like that was a big question with him early in the year.
We asked it a lot. We found
because it didn't seem like, because of this improvement off the tee, there wasn't really a lever to pull. Like Tony Finau, very clear. There's one lever to pull. Scottie Scheffler, there was one lever to pull, and you pull that lever, and the floodgates open. With Jaeger, he did everything so well there. It was kind of hard to figure out what needs to improve to cross the finish line. And kind of turns out nothing did. He just had to keep playing. Perhaps it's something in his mind, believing in it, something along those lines. Because all of a sudden you have two top three finishes this year and now a win. And that's a huge difference from what we saw all of last year and early this year.
I thought you were, did I cut you off earlier, Patrick? Did you want to jump in on something?
I don't think so. I will say, not only was he keeping up with Scotty, though, he was blowing it past him.
Yeah,
he was hitting second into every green. It was always Scotty first.
It's a good point.
The co-op has a sandwich on their menu. Fresh house-made egg salad sprouts served on toasted wheat. It is called the Masters, which is probably a copyright issue. And that is exactly where Steven Yeager is headed. So congratulations, Steven Yeager. First PGA Tour victory, and going to tee it up in Augusta National in 2 weeks. Gents, we have to recap our wagers. We have got to give the update on the one and done. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. We did very well in matchups, and when I say we, I mean they, because I was the only one who lost. Siwoo Kim finished T17. That's not good enough to beat Tony Finau, who finished in a tie for second, but Kyle, Patrick, and Greg all found victories. Greg, you took Kurt Kitayama over Keith Mitchell. Kitayama finished T36, and Keith Mitchell missed the cut.
Yeah, so no sweat there. Kitayama, I mean, there was some sweat on Friday, because Kitayama, I think, was one over and was posted early, and the cut line was teetering between even and one over. So glad to see him make it and get me that win. But boy, there was some sweat in another one of those matchups with Kyle.
We'll get to that in just a second. Patrick, you almost did two things here. So you did do the thing where you picked the guy who wins the golf tournament to beat one other golfer instead of actually beating all of the golfers, but you almost pulled the rare accomplishment of having this matchup be the guys at both ends of
I know.
So Jake, it was Steven Yeager over Jake Knapp. Steven Yeager obviously won the golf tournament. Jake Knapp rallied to finish like 12th to last because he shot a 74 on Thursday, a 71 on Friday. It was horrible immediately out of the gate. He did play better on Friday, but he went out in 42 to start his week. So this thing was over, and you almost got both ends of this.
Yeah, I knew I was in a pretty good spot when I checked the app on Thursday and Jake Knapp was in a featured group, I believe, and those guys typically have that red little play icon by them. And then I checked it a couple hours later and that icon was gone. They just took him off the featured group.
They dropped him from featured coverage.
Yeah, that was probably like 11 a.m. on Thursday or something. So, yeah, I liked Yeager this week. Unfortunately, I did not like him enough, but enough to get this matchup.
Now, imagine that you are taking your matchup and being a little cheeky and going for a minus 400 wager, and you're going to take 143 guys against one. That one being Scottie Scheffler, and having it come down to the final putt of the week, which is exactly what Kyle did when he took the field over Scottie Scheffler. And it did indeed work out. You don't get any credit for winning by one stroke or 100 strokes, but it was sweaty to the finish line. But
that is hysterical.
Anything
at -400.
What, $12 or something?
Yeah. Congratulations. $12.50, I think, is what he got.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's so not a lot. 2.
Worth it.
2-2 on finishing positions. Damon and Jake Knapp did not finish inside the top 20. I think they both missed the cut. Yes, Damon did as well. Siwoo Kim did cash a top 20 for Patrick, and Mackenzie Hughes did cash a top 30 for me. So Patrick, you're 2-for-2 right now.
Yeah, Siwoo, I mean, he's hitting the crap out of the golf ball right now. He just can't seem to putt. I think he was best from tee to green, at least ball striking today. And just not great with the putter. But hey, top 20, we'll take it all week.
We did not have a Steven Yeager on the outright card, although Greg, both of your guys finished second, Scottie Scheffler and Tony Finau, which gets you no credit for anything.
No credit. It's just it's a killer. It's a brutal reminder of this business that we're in. Outrights are, you just have to win. I was feeling so good on Friday. This is a lock. I'm not sure if it's going to be Tony or Scotty, but I know that it's going to be one of them. Wrong.
It's kind of sick.
Wrong.
Wrong.
There it is.
Wrong.
And they both should have won by 5. How is that possible?
I feel for you. This was not nice. This was a little dirty.
Steven Yeager.
Good for Steven Yeager. The best bets. 2-2. Trainer top 40, loser. Scottie Scheffler to win. Almost a winner. Loser. Greg, you did get Tony Finau top 20. Kyle got Siwoo top 20. So there was a tiny consolation there for you.
Yeah, a little bit of a hedge there, which I mentioned on Tuesday. Just in case something goes awry and you decide to miss 100 putts inside of 4 feet, and that's the only thing that keeps you from winning. We got a top 20, so that's a good win. Keep a good little record up here in the best bets.
The one and done was won this week by Mark. He had Alex Noren, which got him 211,000. Noren was great on the weekend. He went 66-65 on the weekend. He finished tied for 11th. Both Josh and Kyle had Siwoo, which got 134,000. Patrick, you and I had Sahith, 65,000. Let's check what Sahith did. 70, 68, 67. He finished T28. Drove it well.
Putter was ice cold.
Yeah,
putter was ice cold. Hey Josh, can we, not to backtrack here, can we see like the betting results for all of them, not just the best bets? I need to see where I'm at.
This is everything.
Wow. Okay.
You're up.
All right. Look at us, Greg.
Wow. Yeah. Greg's up 16%. Patrick's up 4%. I'm down 1.9%. Kyle's down 8.5%. And Marky Mark is down 46%.
Oh. Mm. And yes. if we hit on Finau, that might have, I don't know. I don't know if that would have gotten us into the black, but close.
Well, we would have another 250. No.
Maybe if Scotty had won and I had done Finau winner without Scheffler, we had both.
Oh, right. That would have been cool.
That might have got us black.
And if I would have said, okay, a 5-way tie for second.
And if I hadn't gone all in on Jake Knapp, who almost came in dead last.
And you know, it's like, you know, it's different, right? Like, a miscut's a miscut. You get the same amount. It doesn't, but the Jake Knapp, I mean, I'm on the West Coast. By the time, the first thing I woke up to was Jake Knapp being like 7 over par and out of the golf tournament.
I checked that he was through 3 holes. He was like 4 over through 3. I was like,
It's over.
I made a grave mistake.
What have I done?
Yeah, it's like, oh, but I guess I'm open for these next 3 days if anyone wants to hang out.
Yeah, just like have a normal miscut. It doesn't even have to be a sweaty one where you miss a putt on 18 on Friday. Just have a normal miscut.
Yeah, shoot, you know, one over both days.
Right.
God. Killer.
Oh, boy.
You know there are people that look at the bottom of the leaderboard.
Yeah, of course.
Right, you start at, people probably start at the bottom.
I do.
That's how I start. Yeah.
You guys start at the bottom.
So here's what you do. You start at the bottom and you're just hoping to not see any of your guys.
Mm-hmm. It's like Russian roulette.
So then you're slowly scrolling up, and then you get to, so what I do, I don't know how you do it, Patrick. I get to the point where I say, okay, if I start seeing my guys now, that's fine. It's usually like even par. When I get to even par, I'm like, okay, if I see my guy now, it's not panic mode, anything like that. And then I can kind of scroll normally after that. But yeah, no, you have to start from the bottom.
Yeah, I typically don't even look at names. I just look at the star, if it's blue or not. And I just slowly go up. And then it's, oh, wow, no one's over par so far. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's like I never get this far usually. Like normally these guys are running dead at Thursday at 10 a.m. This is awesome. It's more exciting.
Well, I tried to grandstand a bit there for you, Greg, but I have to tell the people that you had Jake Knapp, who had you zero.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, we've discussed this already. So all my Tony Finau drum beating. Would that have been a good? Obviously, it would. My big question is: did I make the right call? Is there something bigger for Finau on the horizon?
What was T? What did T set? There was a 5-way tie for second. What did that pay?
Like 750 ish.
Nah, 553.
Mm-hmm. I think he can beat that this year. Question is, will I play him?
No,
he does.
No, you probably won't.
Probably not.
Because he will probably only beat it once.
Probably at the Masters.
Yeah, but you're not going to play him. It's definitely going to be a huge event that you're not going to play him at.
Right.
Yeah.
So better play him at the Masters.
The Masters. I think, honestly, for one and done strategy, you know how everyone's going to pick a live guy for the Masters, for the majors?
Yeah.
I think I got to go PGA Tour guys.
I thought at least doing like 2-2.
Yeah.
Because I think the same thing. I think John Rahm is going to be like 50% owned at the Masters.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially if like Brooks wins at Doral next week.
Yeah. Or even, and then think about what Brooks is going to be at either the US Open or the PGA. If Cam Smith gets hot at any point when you get to the Open, like these guys are just, they're free spaces and they're almost too free.
Yeah. It makes too much sense.
Yeah. It's just so hard to know with them. Joaquin Niemann could be pretty popular.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's also like a good one too. Like you could play him at the Masters. That'd be pretty sick. Because like I'm telling you, everybody's going to play Rahm at the Masters. Everybody. Mark has probably had it penciled in for 100 years. I'll just play John Rahm here at the Masters.
That wasn't bad.
Thank you.
I wish I could do something like that, but I think people would call me names, or I'd be accused of stuff based on how bad my accents are.
They call you names anyway. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right. So. I have to ask you if you guys have anything else to talk about, but I do have some big news. I have some massive, massive news.
Fill me in.
Okay. So, if anybody has been following what's going on CBS Sports Network, they'll notice that there's been a lot more of the CBS podcasts on the CBS network. It is April, and it's now our turn. Okay, so a lot of our Masters stuff will also be on the network, which is obviously great for exposure and all that stuff. So next week, we actually have an extra pot. So on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and from my understanding, this is going to be live. So it'll be live, I guess, on YouTube and CBS Sports Network, Josh, or will it be just on the network and then we'll put it on YouTube? I don't know. But there will be an early Masters preview, CBS Sports Network, 2 p.m. Eastern, but it's the First Cut podcast, which will be very interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's going to be, we're going to do it live. We are, I mean, I'm dusting off my prom tuxedo. Rick, I'm sure you're dusting off your wedding tuxedo. And I mean, it's going to be something. The boys are going to be on TV.
We have it's a 44 minute show. We have six blocks that we will cover different topics in. And yeah, it'll be like pretty official and whatnot.
We pitched a seventh block for time zones, but Greg, I think you were busy. That's you weren't exclusive. In the meeting. We really needed you there to push it home. The big wigs weren't buying it.
Yeah, that, well, look, I mean, that's a big change to the machine, you know, so we don't need to be going down there that quickly, but maybe eventually there's some room for that. But hey, welcome to the show.
They did grant us for the PGA Championship a seventh block dedicated to Michael Block.
Ah,
that's all we talk about.
That's how it starts. It starts with Michael Block and it evolves gradually, slowly, step by step into time zones and their ultimate elimination.
I'm going to be sick that day. Just a heads up.
The good news is, so Josh did confirm to me, so we will be live on the network. And then once they send us the video, we will upload that to YouTube. The audio will be uploaded as well normally. So if you want to watch it live instead of YouTube, you need to go to CBS Sports Network. And then as soon as it's over, we'll upload it to YouTube so you can watch it there as well. I had one other thing I needed to say. Oh, I remember. This is in addition to the Texas Open Tuesday show that will still take place on Tuesday live on YouTube. So it's actually this is a bonus episode. This is not a replacement on Tuesday.
Look at us. Oh, Greg.
Now you get
on it today. We are on it today.
That's how you end up on TV.
Yeah, this is old news for Greg. Greg is constantly on the network, aren't you, Greg?
Well, I spent a couple of years ago, we had a regular show on there every week. We do some spotlight hits on there every week now, which are a little shorter. And so, yeah, I've had a lot of experience with CBS Sports Network. Great network. Highly recommend it, especially this Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
Yes. Greg, you have any tips?
Just go out there and play your own game.
Okay. Because I mean, I'm gonna see the outline and I'm gonna be like, yeah.
Don't
okay,
look at sure. the outline.
I'm gonna be like, sure, okay.
don't even look at the outline. Just let me run point and just talk like
play your game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll
play. You're
we'll
a professional.
Yeah. It'll be
fun. Let's use that term lightly.
Anything else, gents, related to this week, next week, the week after is the Masters? Anything before we get out of town? All right.
Getting a lot of sense.
There's a lot more coming.
There's a lot coming. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say thank you, producer Josh, who's doing all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Patrick McDonald, who you can find on Twitter at PMcDonaldCBS. Greg Ducharme available at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.